¡Laura Le!
¡Sí, señor!
¡Ay, ay, ay, ay!
Oh, yeah, baby. Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast, a full house of primos. I'm Jorge Georgi Martin, and we got, like I said, a casa llena. Ricky Torres, Hector Reyes.
Yo.
Nico, primo Nico Gutierrez. And our recurring and guest.
Honorary familia.
Honorary familia, primo Greggy Greg, drinking the white tequila tonight.
Yes, for the white guy, the cousins. Yes, we gotta represent.
Oh, beautiful boy.
Is a little greeting there, but you know, we'll get him there.
Well, we're definitely, as far as getting there, we are definitely there with the first round of playoffs done, and we're fired up for round two coming up. Again, everybody, make sure you're checking out our original content at thefamiliaffb.com, as well as our Familia FFB Twitter and Instagram page. But first off, guys, you know, hey, tip of the cap, pour one out. I mean, you know, our Familia is as identified as Dodger fans as anybody. And well, you know, we had one of the almost our adopted abuelito, Tommy Lasorda, 93 years old, heart of a lion, you know, with an appetite to match. He's gone up to the big Dodger in the sky. That one was a tough one last Friday, hearing about it. And I got to tell you, it was, definitely tough for me, you know, having gotten to know him, you know, having grown up as a Dodger fan, became a Dodger fan his first year in 1977, and then got to know him a little bit. And, it was a beautiful thing watching him just have an incredible kind of grandfatherly relationship with my daughters. I told him to call him Uncle Tommy. So all the time, and it just the pictures that I have with him and my kids, and just special, special man. I mean, it's a tough one, guys. But I don't want to dominate this one. Everybody's got special feelings about Tommy.
Yeah, I remember for me, I mean, being an 8-year-old kid back in watching the 81 World Series, and it's burned in my brain. I mean, being an 8-year-old, I mean, the Dodgers were gods to me. Garvey and Say and Russell and Lopes, those guys were gods to me. Just walking into Dodger Stadium, it was like, you know, walking into the kingdom of heaven for me, for an 8-year-old kid. Like, I can't believe I'm here. This is, you know, this is amazing. And to watch the Dodgers win the World Series back in 81, and Tommy Lasorda running out, arms up in the air, you know, in triumph. Like, I whenever I think of him, that's the moment that I think of, because that is probably of every Dodger series that I've witnessed that they've won. That one in 81 is the one that stands out to me as the one that just kind of gives me the warm and fuzzies. And when I think of that series, I always think of that image of Tommy running out, arms raised the minute that they won the series. And that's how I remember that, you know. So it's awesome to me. And then, you know, later on growing up, just, you know, I'd go to Fan Appreciation Day a lot of times, Dodgers Giants to end the season. And he'd often come out and read, you know, the winning ticket. You know, I was hoping that, you know, they'd call my seat, and he'd come out and, you know, give away a car or a trip to who knows where, or, you know, something cool. And he'd come out and he'd read off a couple of those tickets and give away some prizes. So he was always involved. And yeah, like I said, just awesome, awesome dude, a personification of the Dodgers. And definitely will be
he
missed.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
And, I remember, going to the games and getting to see him live in person, just on his electric wheelchair, his electric scooter. And it was just like an honor. You'd see people crowd up to see him. And I don't know who's going to take his spot. I don't know who can live up to that.
God,
that status. Like, he's just one of a kind, I guess.
Just really one of a kind. It's hard to, you know, even picture anybody else fitting that kind of role on any other team anywhere. It's just, I mean, he's so special. And he just became larger than life. And
he bled Dodger blue.
Yeah. Just beautiful. Just incredible. Nico, you got a favorite?
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing is, like, I hope Vin Scully stays around for quite a while.
Please.
That would be too much, the two of them, because they were, you know, they're our base, our corner. But, yeah, I got a Tommy Lasorda story. Basically, I got to go to one of the VIP section. I forgot what they call it. They have a little nickname for it, but my buddy had some great seats. So I go down there to go get some of the food, and I look, and there's Tommy Lasorda, you know, a group, small group around him. I'm like, perfect. I want to go say hi. So I'm waiting. I'm trying to be patient, respectful, and I look, and I'm waiting to do it. And I'm so excited. I can't, you know, I look to the guy left of me who's standing there, and I go, that's Tommy Lasorda. And I look at him, and I go, oh, my God, it's Ron Say. I go,
Ron Say is like, yeah. I think you're right, man. I think that is him.
Only the greatest third baseman in Dodger history, Brooklyn and LA. Yeah,
the Penguin.
Yeah, and I'm like, I've been watching you since I was a little kid. I mean, not that you're old, but, and then I was just, you know, I was a few drinks in, so I couldn't really explain myself, but kind of waited, and I just walked away in shame. But I got to shake Ron Say's hand and at least look at Tommy Lasorda. So
that was really cool. Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Greg, you had an interesting, you know, kind of love-hate, respect relationship with Tommy.
Well, yeah, you know, as a NorCal guy, and Giants are my favorite team of all pro sports, you know, the first game you want to go to was opening day. And if it wasn't opening day, then it was a Giants game. I mean, a Giants-Dodgers series, right? So, just Tommy embraced it, right? It was like, he was like, come at me, you know, fans, you know, and on the field, and things were happening. But, yeah, he's irreplaceable. There is nobody – you know, in fact, we don't go down the road of what a manager is today in baseball, because they're just a robot now. And he's the guy. He was the guy, and he was doing commercials up here, and we embraced him in sports talk radio. And he's a legend. And out of respect of you know, him and his family, like as Giants fan, we all loved him, you know, and we always will. And there's nobody that can ever replace him. That's for sure. Yeah.
Nobody. I mean, I will say one of the cool things working in the front office, he loved everybody in the front office. One of the coolest things was getting, you know, once in a while, a couple of times I got tapped, hey, you want to go to lunch with Tommy? And you know, and it'd be a group, and he would always take a group of some of the youngest salespeople, and he would just tell stories, and you know, everybody would at the end would be digging their wallet for looking for, you know, wanting to pay for their lunch. And Tommy was like, no, don't worry about it. It's already taken care of. He always had an agreement with whoever, you know, with whatever restaurant. And I mean, just the stories that he told and the way he made everybody just feel included and special. And he made everybody love the Dodgers within the organization. I mean, even Giant fans that came to work for the Dodgers, he would, you know, occasionally even kind of like initiate them into Dodger fandom. So, you know, and Greg, you know how that tough that would be. But yeah, just a special, special man who, you know, it really felt like a family member going. I had a lot of conversations with friends via, you know, both live and via text, kind of comforting each other, but also, you know, celebrating his life. And that's what we're doing here. And so that's special. That's special. So gracias, Tommy. Gracias. And he's also spoke really good Spanish. I will tell one story, a quick Tommy story. Game 3 of the 1981 World Series. Fernando's getting beat up, hit around. And so Tommy goes out to the mound. It's like the third inning. Fernando's already given up 4 runs, and it looks like he doesn't have it. And Fernando goes to the, I mean, Tommy goes to the mound, and again, it looks like he's going to pull him. And then Fernando, in perfect Spanish, he goes to Fernando and said, Fernando, si tú no permites otra carrera, nosotros vamos a ganar este juego 8-4. You know, Fernando, if you don't give up another run, we're going to win this game 8-4. Fernando looks at Tommy, 20-year-old Fernando looks at Tommy in perfect English, says, are you sure? The Dodgers ended up coming back and winning the game 5-4, and they won 4 straight and won the World Series a few days later. So,
nice. So against the Yankees.
Against the Yankees. So
yeah, it was just, that's a big deal, man.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Wow. Yeah, and Fernando, yeah, just it's still one, you know, Vin Scully said that was Fernando's finest game. When he, you know, in the announcement. So otra vez, Tommy, gracias. And Well, week one of the NFL playoffs in the books, boys.
Let's go.
I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, you could definitely tell the playoff intensity all over the field. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. For me, the biggest shocker was that first quarter with the Browns over the Steelers. I mean, shocked. I thought the Steelers were gonna roll them, and I didn't see that one.
It was like a movie. Oh, the Browns just scored. First play of the game off. You know, it was the Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos Super Bowl, you know, over his head. The snap. Remember that a couple of years back? And you know, it was all downhill from there. This reminded me of that. I said, oh man, that's a bad omen. The first snap of the game is a over the quarterback's head. It's gonna go bad from there. And just Browns scored again. Like, wow, just amazing. Did not see that coming.
I mean, could you imagine if you turn the TV on because you missed, you know, the first 5 minutes of the game? You're like, oh, okay, let's see what's going on. You sit there.
35-0 or 28-0.
Well, damn,
like Michael Spinks, like a Tyson fight. I've only missed the first 90 seconds. Let me turn it on. And Tyson wins. Like, wait, what?
There went $50 on pay-per-view.
Yeah, crazy.
You know,
I mean, it just summed up the whole weekend of just, like, you know, the game for me were – I don't know. They just, they weren't all there, but one thing that we know is that look at what rises to the top, the defenses, right? So Cleveland's had a pretty good defense all year. Their pass rush is figuring out. And let's not forget that their manager or fucking head coach, we went off baseball there, their head coach, had COVID and you're thinking, whoa, no way. And then like, even we're looking at ourselves going, uh-oh, what's this?
Right.
I think we knew that they would make a push. They did. What I heard was that the whole week they had trained their defensive line to put their hands up in the gaps, that was their defensive protection, is that they weren't going to let Ben use his height to throw over the top of the line. So when they rushed and they just put their arms up, that's why they deflected all those balls that caused those picks. So it was a huge game plan at work, obviously. So
that's awesome.
Absolutely phenomenal. Any, you know, I know the big letdown was Derrick Henry. So only for 40 yards. I mean, for me, one of the biggest hits was Cam Akers going for 176. But I mean, what, you know, it was just kind of like, you could definitely tell with the more narrow focus, the fewer games, six games, obviously going three games each day. It you really had to be spot on in this weekend from a DFS purpose. It really was. Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the Rams game was a perfect example of, okay, who's going to be the quarterback, right? So I game scripted, you know, based on the fact that the backup quarterback's going in. I don't think Akers is going to be a factor because they're going to have to pass to catch up. The starting quarterback gets hurt. And then here comes Goff with, and if anybody, and I can tell you firsthand that when I was playing dorm football, I've broken my thumb and had to put a pin in there, right, to come back, and they take it out later. But it's like, there's no way that Goff's going in there and doing what he did. And he did, but that defense, right? Somebody called it. You got to have the Rams defense. And again, they stepped up and Akers just did it. So, and the other thing is consistent among all the teams. Look at the teams, how they shared running backs, right? They went away from the committee. Committee gets you through the season, but in the playoffs, they're going to go with that one guy, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're going to see throughout. So,
Yeah, you could definitely see the teams start narrowing and going at their studs. And that I think is going to be very prevalent. I think we're going to see that again this weekend with four games. It's just going to be like, you know, there's that, you narrow that tree a little bit more and that fewer players. Cause heck, you know what, at this point, at this time of the year, you're going after your best play. You're going to go down with your big guns. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs are not going to go down throwing it to DeMarcus Robinson. They're going to go down throwing it to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, going with those guys. So go with your studs.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Well, before we get into this weekend, let's get into some
cheese man.
So crowning the champs, Alabama rocks Ohio State 52-24. And, you know, we saw kind of like a preview of some guys that we're going to be looking at drafting next year, both for fantasy and for DFS. I don't think anybody shined more brightly than Devontae Smith. I mean, that the wide receiver you know, Heisman Trophy winner, 12 catches, 215 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, he just looked like he could do anything. And Mac Jones, his quarterback, threw for 464 yards and five TDs. I mean, just tied Joe Burrow for the most TDs in a championship game. He actually was kind of impressive watching, you know, watching him play in that game. I mean, I thought he had a little bit more arm than I expected, but and the other one that I think we're going to be drafting is Najee Harris, the running back. Oh, yeah. What'd you think, Heck?
Three TDs. I mean, I was thinking about that late in the game. It's like, wait a minute. Alabama's got two guys with three TDs? I mean, how often does that happen where two different guys get three TDs in a game? That's just dominance. I mean, how do you stop a team like that? What is the defense supposed to do? Like, one guy got three TDs. The other guy has three TDs. It's like, that's just complete dominance. Yeah, Devontae Smith. Heisman winner. Yeah, he's going to be our, I don't know what, T. Higgins or Justin Jefferson, you know, of this year for next year. And then, you know, Najee Harris. I mean, yeah, we can't wait to draft these guys next year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, you know, it was funny, but back in the old days, people used to watch college ball, and pro football was not really very popular. And they actually had like the best college team play the worst or one of the pro teams. And the college team used to always win. So there's always the thing, would Alabama beat the Jets, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
I think that would be interesting. That would be an interesting game. I don't know what they would do as far as if Vegas would actually set a line for that, but it's on a neutral field. I think I'd love to see that happen.
Yeah. It'll never happen because of liabilities and all that stuff, but it's an interesting thought for sure.
I mean, if you pay the players after they graduate, they can do whatever they want.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Let's
true.
Let's get it going, guys. Let's do it.
The one guy that I thought was a big letdown was Justin Fields. You know, he looked so good against Clemson, and then just 194 yards and a touchdown. He definitely showed himself as a runner. I mean, he's going to be a first round draft pick, but you know, if I'm the Jets drafting number 2 after seeing Trevor Lawrence go off the board, I'm like, do I want to, you know, is he the guy that I'm going to number 2?
What choice do you have?
Well, a lot of people are talking up Zach Wilson at BYU. So, I mean, I'm going to look at some of this, you know, some of the game tape. I've got a couple of games saved on my DVR with BYU and see what kind of a ball player he is. See if, you know, if he's worth drafting. I mean, I wanted to like Justin Fields a little more. I mean, maybe, you know, he got rocked in the last game. So I wonder if maybe there were some after effects on there. I mean, their wide receiver, Chris Olave,
that's
he got 69 yards on 8 receptions. So he looks like he could be a ball player. I mean, I like, you know, getting back to Devontae Smith, I like him a lot. I wish he were bigger. I mean, the one thing that we were talking, you know, heck, you were talking about Justin Jefferson and T. Higgins. Those are big guys. Those are like 6'3", right. 6'3" guys, about 220. And Devontae Smith's like 6'1", 175, 180.
Like Tyreek Hill, like built like Tyreek Hill kind of like.
Yeah, that kind of guy.
Jones, or, you know, there's a bunch of tall guys that just kill it, you know.
So yeah, I think, you know, you want exactly the Julio Jones type. To me, if you're drafting number 3 overall or something like that, if you're drafting a wide receiver in the top 10, I want a big guy, 6'3", 6'4", who can run.
Like a DK Metcalf, like those bigger.
I want those.
It's kind of leaning that way, kind of like a hybrid wide receiver, tight end kind of player where there's this, you can out-muscle and just outsize the DBs to get some extra yards and get some extra catches.
Yeah, you go for the Megatron type. Yeah, DK Metcalf. How that guy was a second-round draft pick, I'll never understand.
Yep.
Well, you know, and I don't know if I'm ever going to understand what's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles. They fired Doug Peterson. I guess, Neil.
That's politics, man. That is all pure politics. Because the calls that he made in the last game, everyone knows they came from up top. You know, he's taking out Hurts and, you know, putting – you know, obviously he's playing to lose that game, and that's not his idea because any head coach – wants to win. So those moves he made were clearly not his moves. And then he gets fired for making moves that were not his moves. So that's completely political. And, you know, that's just, you know, job stuff and, you know, in the grain kind of stuff. So whatever the reason is, it's, you know, infighting and the players didn't like him. There's way more to it than just, he didn't do a good job.
I think so. I mean, it's, I mean, there's talk that it's, you know, that maybe there was some problem with the Carson Wentz relationship with Doug Peterson, and they took the guy who's making $30 million a year. You know, that's, you know, taking sides on that front. I mean, if Carson Wentz is not fixable, we're going to find out with a new coach. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting. And I'm going to be, really,
maybe they want to use Carson Wentz as a trade piece.
It could be. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. But then if they were going to use Carson Wentz as a trade piece, then why fire Doug Peterson? So that to me is,
because,
like,
they don't want to deal with him either. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And why fire up Hurts? And Hurts looks way better than Wentz, so even weirder. It's weird.
They want to go with Hurts, so they'll go coach shopping later, and they have no room for Wentz, so trade him and upgrade something. Trade him to get Belichick. Who knows?
That would be interesting. Can you imagine Belichick in Philadelphia after you know, after beating him in the Super Bowl?
He's a lifer over there.
Yeah, he's going. Well, you know, speaking of the coaching talk, you know, there's so much speculation. I mean, I think the two biggest things about all this that kind of stick out, Urban Meyer is sounding like it's getting caliente with him going down to the possibility of him going down to Jacksonville. That one's that could be
Florida. Let him stay in Florida.
Yeah. You know, won a national championship with the Gators. So
Trevor Lawrence, the college kid gets to coach a college kid, basically. Pretty, you know, that sounds kind of interesting and intriguing.
Yeah. Does he do what Jimmy Johnson did with Dallas? Does he do that in Jacksonville?
Oh, come on, man. You can't.
That's raising the bar. How about them Jaguars? Hey, why not set the bar high for him?
I've never seen anything good from the Jags to be able to set the bar that high.
No, not at all. Well, I mean, a few years ago, they took the Patriots down to the wire in the AFC Championship, but you know, they did not have Tom Brady.
So did the Chargers, but I don't brag about that. So.
Well, you're going to have – there's some interesting names with the Chargers going around. I mean, anyone stuck out to you on that one, Ricky?
Just the guy from – I don't know how to pronounce his name. Bouyije or the guy from –
Robert Saleh?
From the Chiefs?
Oh, Bieniemy?
Eric Bieniemy.
I can't hear Greg, but yes.
No,
Robert Saleh,
the coach of the 49,
defensive coordinator for the Niners.
I don't want him. He's cool, but I don't want him.
No, you're talking about Bieniemy from KC.
KC.
Yeah, Bieniemy,
the offensive coordinator there.
Yeah, you gotta keep your enemies closer, right?
Your Bieniemies.
He'd be able to tell us what to expect and all this. So, I want him.
One of the great
I think you know, the offensive coordinator would be my pick too. I mean, look at the way the game is changing, right? I mean, you know, if you look at the three quarterbacks in the AFC and the three quarterbacks in the NFC, they're completely different. Now, the three I'm talking about, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Allen, right? Fast moving quarterbacks, right?
Yep.
Those guys are here to stay. Rodgers, Brady, and Brees, pocket passers. So when you talk about Wentz, the guy's got no future in the NFL. I'm sorry. He's done. He's not going to be able to move. And I look at Roethlisberger, you know, sitting on the sidelines going, what the hell just happened? Well, anybody can pass against a prevent defense down 28-0 and throw 500 yards. But I think the changing of the guard is now. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, this coach you're talking about going down to Florida, sure, why not? I get a running quarterback coming from Clemson, well coached. He'll know what to do. You know, I think we're seeing a real – like hard change in the NFL. We've seen it coming, but you know, if anybody thought Jalen Hurts was a question mark, dude, he is definitely the future of Philly. Wentz will never, he's gone. I mean, there's no way, right?
Yep.
I mean, the Zach Wilson,
that guy's
going to be money in the NFL. He's going to be good, you know? So it's, but now, you know, if we're looking forward to this weekend, defense and quarterbacks, pick it, you know? So.
Oh, man. Well, the last thing about that is, you know, Deshaun Watson talking about he's a little bit enojado, a little bit ticked off that he's not being taken seriously. You know, you don't, So you don't piss off your superstar. I mean, even if you're, because he wanted Bienemy. He wants Bienemy too, because Patrick Mahomes called him up and said, "Hey, you want this guy as your coach?" And then all of a sudden, the Texans don't even ask to interview him until like this week, which means they can't interview him until after the Chiefs are done with the playoffs, which is probably the Super Bowl. So, at that point, he's probably going to already have a job offer. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be weird.
Bienemy played for the Chargers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's going to be.
The plot thickens.
Ooh, boy.
Plot thickens.
Well, speaking of the plot thickening, let's get into the divisional round of the playoffs. Yeah. Let's get into the previews.
Let's go.
So we're going to do a little bit different this week. Instead of just concentrating on players, we're going to go game by game and who are the players to play and who are the players that are kind of like, kind of stay away from. We're going to start off Rams at Packers. You know, it's a Green Bay's a 6.5-point favorite. It's a 45.5 over under. It's going to be cold in the 29 degrees. It's going to be a Saturday afternoon game. You know, I keep remembering Jared Goff. You know, he's coming off the thumb surgery. It's only been 2 weeks now, I think. But I still remember that Kaka game that he had against the Bears in freezing temperatures 2 years ago. And, you get back into freezing temperatures, your thumb's not good. I mean, that to me is, how do you guys feel about the Rams passing game, in freezing temperatures going against that and the Green Bay Packer defense?
I think just don't even worry about it. Just go for the running. I think Akers is going to be primed to get a key role this game, especially if it's this cold. So, and the weakness of the Packers has been more their run than passing. So I would put all my money in on Akers.
That'd be interesting. Greg, what do you say?
Oh man. So this game is probably the hardest one for me to take a chance on. Cause I mean, Rodgers, Devontae, the other Devontae, the original Devontae. Is that what we should say? But, so Rodgers, if there's been a tough pass rush against him, it's going to be hard, right? So this is where the Rams and, I don't know, the best pass rush in the game with Donald. I mean, you see some sequences where they threw Donald out way right and they put three guys hard left and they still double-teamed Donald last in that game against Seattle. I mean, it's ridiculous. So with the way the Packers throw the ball, it's like two steps to get it out and under a certain amount of time. The other receivers besides Devontae Adams, they haven't provided much value, right? So the tight end. So, I mean, I like the Rams play here as it's really cheap defense. You want to talk value. Again, you're hoping for that. Who called it last week? Was it you, Hector, that said the pick six for the Rams, right?
Oh, so, yeah.
Yep. You know, and that was huge. Again, they apply pressure. So if they run the ball a lot with Akers, which I'm with you on that because the Packers are in the low third of the defense and the rushing yards, then that the time ticks off the clock. Rodgers isn't going to have time to throw. I think this game's going to be really close, really low scoring. Anything can happen at the end. But again, you're talking cold. Is that the advantage that gets the Packers over the top? But I don't think we're talking about a lot of points here. So I like the Rams. I like Akers, and they maybe go, but I'm not paying up for Rodgers or Adams probably. You know, it's just going to be just hard to do it. So,
How do injuries factor in here? Aaron Donald missed practice today. Cooper Kupp missed practice today. I know Aaron Donald, if you watched the game, he took a rear end on his rib. Ribs.
Yeah,
I forgot who was that. Out he sacked the quarterback. The quarterback rolls over and like smacked him. Like, I think it was Troy Aikman or somebody. I think it was maybe it was Tony Romo. One of the commentators said that looks like a broken rib. You know, Aaron Donald came out and he was out for a while. And they're like, you know what, that might be a broken rib, which is not good when you're Aaron Donald because you need to be at full power to do what Aaron Donald does. And even if he's not full power, he's still going to do great things, but he's not going to put, Aaron Rodgers will take advantage of a subpar Aaron Donald for sure.
I think when you're talking about ribs, I love ribs, by the way. You guys have any good recipes, let me know.
Baby back.
But I mean, think about it. The whole offensive line, defensive line matchup is leverage, getting underneath, right? Driving up through the hips. If quarterbacks can wear protective gear, a quarterback with rib problems is a hell of a lot worse than a defensive line guy with rib problems, right? So I think maybe he gets off of some of the run blocking situations where the offensive line is trying to get underneath him. So maybe they just pick him in on pass situations, which could play a factor in the game in Green Bay, mixing up the run and the pass. But I think the damn guy's so tough. He's got so much muscle. They'll give him extra padding. If it's less broken, he'll be fine. I think he'll be not
cortisone shots and good to go. So yeah. Bike it in, ready to rock. Let's go.
Breeze is playing with what, 6 broken ribs and a punctured lung?
I think it's like 11 punctured. I think it was 11 broken ribs.
11 Jeez. Broken ribs, unlike the McGrib, which is back this week.
And that's not, and that won't break the bank.
Now my big question is, who's going to pay up for Davante Adams at 8,600 when he's going to be shadowed against Jalen Ramsey and, you know, the top flight, you know, Rams secondary that's just been just lights out the, you know, all season long.
Isn't he, what do they say? You know, he's going to moss Jalen Ramsey. You know, Davante Adams is one of those guys where he's going to score. You know, like Jordan, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. So I think, you know, Davante scores a touchdown. Maybe his yardage isn't up there. Maybe he doesn't have as many catches and targets. I know Greg mentioned that, you know, DraftKings is PPR, but, you know, maybe there's an impact there. But I think Davante Adams still scores at least once, but he may not have the typical production, you know, typical Davante production. So 8,600 might be a little bit rich. I think there's a couple other guys that you might be want to target, you know, get a better value.
Hey Greg.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
so on this one, I mean, there's only a few games, so there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of the same lineups, right? Don't you want to kind of go out there a little bit and go kind of like a long shot, or what's the strategy? What do you want?
Well, speaking of that, Nico, Davante Adams probably will be low owned this week. So that could be a differentiator. If you can find value in some of those lower priced receivers, then you can play Davante. But I'm just thinking, it's just so much to try to find value at a lower priced receiver. Maybe we'll find that later. But look at his game logs. You look at the tough defenses he's played. Chicago twice, right? He, in those two games, he did have a touchdown, but it was like 6 for 50, 60 yards, you know. Indy, 7 for 100 and one touchdown. But again, that's like, you know, 25 points on 9K is a pretty tough pill to swallow, right? Minnesota, 7 for 53, but he did have 3 touchdowns, a different game. Tampa Bay, 6 for 61. But I don't know, can he get there? Because you want to find the receiver at that value that scores 40 points, and that's probably Tyreek Hill, right? Or Diggs, mm-hmm. even, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
right, yeah. Diggs, I'm thinking.
That's
Baltimore secondary is sketchy.
Yeah. But it's cash play. If you're playing a lineup where you're just looking to get some points and you want like those 22 points from Davante, and you can just find some really, you know, easy sort of plays that way, then it could be a good play. But if you want to win a tournament, then Devontae's, I don't see him getting 40 points against the Rams this week, because the Rams will shorten this game real quick.
Yep. Yeah, they won't. I mean, if I were to invest in a pass catcher, I'd probably go after Robert Tonyan. I mean, the Rams are, you know, they're not going to blanket him like with Jalen Ramsey or one of those guys. Maybe he's, you know, maybe he could break free a little bit. So he's the only one I'm looking at. But yeah, it's tough to pass on like a Robert Woods or something like that. But I just don't want any part of this. I feel like he's going to get the Jaire Alexander treatment on the other side. So, you know, no matter what, Woods is at, what's he at right now? He's at 5,900. Even that seems kind of high. Mm-hmm. So, well, let's go to the Saturday night game. I mean, this is going to be a very interesting game. We got the Ravens at the Bills. The Bills are 2-point favorites. It's a 50-point over-under, so there's going to be some points scored in here. And it's going to be cold in the 30s, 38 degrees expected. Obviously, it's going to be a night game, so it's going to be colder that night. You know, this one, I mean, both teams, you know, flashed in that first game. I mean, it is, and both quarterbacks are going to be heavily owned. You got Josh Allen on one side, Lamar Jackson on the other side, both dual threat run quarterbacks. I mean, I think I'm looking to spend up on one of these guys this weekend.
I like Lamar Jackson. I think maybe a stack between Lamar Jackson and Marquise Brown. I mean, Marquise Hollywood Brown's been, he's been climbing up the charts. I mean, even though, you know, Buffalo's secondary can be a little bit tough, I like that stack, Lamar Jackson and Marquise Brown. He's been doing solid the last few weeks. So I think I'd definitely be down to start my lineup there and just kind of plug and play from there.
And what the heck, I can give you some credit for that. I actually pulled him into another lineup of mine and won a couple bucks. So thank you for that, because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go with the heck for this week. Nice. Another good call of yours last week. So good job, man. Yeah. Hollywood.
Hollywood.
You know, the Ravens, their defense was, you know, kind of they're okay the last five games of the season. You know, they were number 17 against wide receivers, number 8 against quarterbacks. But they really balled out last week. I mean, they held down Tannehill to, you know, only 6 rushing yards and 165 passing yards. But the big part was Derrick Henry, 40 rushing yards. Could we see a similar effort back-to-back against this high-flying Bills offense that's just been studly? And, you know, could that shut down Josh Allen? I mean, is that too much to ask?
I think you got to stick with the Allen Diggs combo again. You know, I think Diggs is getting open. I'm not a coverage expert on man-to-man or press or these zone defenses or whatever. It doesn't matter what they get thrown at him. Allen Diggs answers. Now Beasley's back. Now, obviously, I think I had a lineup with 3 zeros in it. Can I explain this? Ron Ooh. Jones, I got Gronk.
John Brown.
And John Brown. I'm like, going, Ooh. Wow, this Greggy Greg, like, we got to get him off the show.
I was right there with you. Ronald Jones, like, and John Brown. That was me too.
I'm like, what the heck? No, anyway. So, I mean, you got to look at the Beasley, the value. Let's look at, hold on. Let's go down and see what the value is for Brown this week. So he's at 4,600.
46.
Yeah. And Beasley at 49. So, but if you want to do that stack, then you're probably going Allen, Diggs.
That's pricey. That, I mean, 14.7 for two guys. Is that too much?
No.
Hey,
ask, who was the champion of La Familia? Like, can we go back to
Nico?
That?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Dude, I mean, every week, like, Nico, he knew what he got. There's like, there are certain things that you know are going to match up. Rodgers and Adams always adds up.
Right.
Not this week. I still think you can beat Baltimore with running or passing. So problem is, who knows what the defense is, it stood up. It worked. But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I think Josh Allen is just, if you've been watching him, he's been feeding Beasley, but we're talking like it has to be a perfect pass every time. And it was every time. So I think that
those darts, man, that guy throws darts.
Yeah. And Stephon Diggs, I mean, he just needs one foot in front of the guy.
Yeah.
Put it right there, you know? So it's, I think, Josh Allen is just going to light it up, and he's going to run because he wants it. I mean, he's a rookie. He can't get hurt, right? He's too young. So,
I don't know, man. But Lamar, I mean, looking at Lamar Jackson.
Knock on wood, man. Come on. I mean,
how much do we look at these rankings? Because Lamar Jackson, you know, Buffalo is ranked 26th against QBs. And if that holds true, I mean, Lamar Jackson could just go bananas against these guys. I mean, I think that gives a lot of value to him there too. So that's interesting to see that they're ranked so low against quarterbacks that he could just, I mean, Lamar Jackson could just kind of dominate.
Yeah, I think
a lot of times those are misleading because sometimes the game script says that Buffalo gets ahead and there's these other quarterbacks that just get yardage. Like, you know, you have a bunch of games where Ben Roethlisberger shows up after being down 28-0. It's sort of misleading.
Right.
Buffalo's been ahead a lot of times and scores so many points. But I think Lamar, you know, he's going to run more now, especially he's going to be all in on his running game this year.
Yep. Yep.
This weekend.
Yep. For sure.
I mean, there are so many plays at quarterback this week. I mean, it's just look at it, you know, you just, but we'll get to that. But I think Allen and Diggs, I think is a, you got it. If you're going to make a lineup, then you got
it. Yeah, it's like automatic. Yeah, for sure. That's like a good solid start.
Yeah. And then the other thing is in Buffalo, I think Moss is out this week, right? So
yeah, he's out for the rest of the playoffs. So it's going to be Singletary show.
Yeah. So Singletary.
Fire him up.
At 4,500. Are you talking? That's value. He's now, that's an $8,000 running back right there. So,
yeah.
So if you don't go, you know, you can do the QB running back receiver stack right there with those three and just go game heavy on that one, because I'm thinking Tampa Bay and New Orleans could be low scoring. I do like Cleveland KC as a high scoring game. Baltimore, Buffalo, mid scoring. And then the Rams, Green Bay, I think is going to be low scoring. So trying to get in those two games, you know, the Cleveland KC and Baltimore, Buffalo, you want to try to maybe get like maybe 5 or 6 players from those two games.
Ooh, that's interesting. So, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, player out there, Mark Andrews, who hasn't really done much lately, but I could see him scoring 2 touchdowns, getting 100 yards, you know, because he's an outlet that usually is automatic, but I think he might be.
He got a few targets. I think he had a drop in the end zone. I think if I remember right, he definitely got some balls thrown to him this weekend, this past weekend.
He did, and you know what? One of the
stat. Oh, you go ahead.
Oh no, because one of the things that I was going to point out is Jack Doyle. I didn't put this in the show doc, but Jack Doyle got 7 receptions for 70 yards last week and a touchdown. So, you know, so Buffalo's, you know, pass defense against the tight end, you know, can get a little vulnerable. I mean,
yeah, it shows Burton. Here ranked 29. It says here DraftKings shows that they're Buffalo's ranked 29 against tight end. So Mark Andrews definitely, to Nico's point, he could have a big game.
Yeah, good play for sure.
All right. Well, oh, one guy that I want to pump is J.K. Dobbins as a possibility. We talked about Devin Singletary. I know it's still kind of a timeshare, but it looks like he's getting more of the carries. And
yeah, he is.
Yep. The Bills were showing, you know, a little bit leaky, you know, gave up 78 yards to Jonathan Taylor last week and be giving up some yards on the ground. So that is definitely a possibility there.
Doesn't it seem that they use Gus Edwards a lot for like the bull rush?
Yep.
You know, like for the, you know, to vulture a touchdown or something. That's the only scary part is that, I mean, if it's, you know, 3rd and 1, I think they're going Gus Edwards. So.
Yeah, for the short yardage and
yeah.
The touchdowns, though J.K. Dobbins, his touchdown was a short yardage touchdown. Yeah, okay. You know, but well, they're definitely giving him, but, you know, they'll give him maybe, you know, 12 to 15 carries and give Gus Edwards like 8 to 10 carries. So it's, you know, this. I think this is going to be a very interesting matchup. I'm glad it's a 50-point over-under. Well, you know what, Greg?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you were going to say the quarterback?
Yeah, the quarterback. So, like, when you're talking goal line, this is where you pick up or you play Lamar Jackson or Allen, because they, in the crunch time, are going to take those goal line carries, right?
Playoff time, it's true. Right?
So, having a quarterback that runs and passes is like having a running back and a quarterback. So Lamar, I mean, I'm going to have him in a lineup. I'm gonna have the Allen Diggs show in a lineup, and then I'm really sort of stuck on. I think I'm off Brady this week, you know, and we'll talk about that game. But I like Jackson and Allen really big in this game. I think this game could be like a high scoring game. Yeah.
For sure.
Totally agreed. I think that's going to be, I think I'm glad this one's on prime time on Saturday, because that's going to be a fun game to watch. Well, let's go to the Browns and Chiefs. Browns at KC. The Chiefs are 10-point favorites, 56-point over under, and it's going to be 42 degrees expected. It's a Sunday afternoon game. So it'll be like around, you know, noon out on the West Coast, 2 o'clock over in KC. This is the highest over under of the weekend. And, you know, just, you know, it feels like forever since we've seen Patrick Mahomes. One of the things that I found that was very interesting, the Chiefs had 7 wins, their last 7 wins. I'm taking out the game against the Chargers at the end of the season where they sat down their entire team. They had 7 wins in a row. All of them were by 6 points or less.
Wow. So their whole entire season was like that, though.
They don't cover.
Yeah, they lost to the Raiders. Yeah. There was not a cakewalk. Yeah. KC did not make it look easy this season, nor was it easy for them. For whatever reason, they just, you know, it wasn't the dominance that they've had in previous years. But they have won, just not as easily. So
I don't know. If you look at the rankings of each player fantasy wise, they dominated still. Just teams would catch up at the end, or teams would always want to beat them because they're the defending champs. So whenever you're the defending champ, everyone wants to play a little bit harder against you. So I get why they have that many close games, but damn, they're still dominating fantasy wise.
Mm-hmm. It's tough being the champ. It is.
Well, I kind of feel like, you know, it's, they've kind of sleepwalked after winning. It's kind of, it's similar to, you know, when the Warriors, after they won their first title, they kind of, you know, pulled back a little bit. Greg, you know this. I mean, I know the Lakers, the Shaq and Kobe Lakers did this a lot after their first championship, where they were just like, oh, we don't worry about winning the division title. We just worry about winning the main title and then just really turn it on in the playoffs. You know, I don't know if that, you can't quantify that. To me, the thing is, Patrick Mahomes looked at the game script from last game, and I know he's not going to want to throw 68 times or whatever it was that Ben Roethlisberger threw, but you know, he probably looked at the fact that that you can throw on these guys as long as they protect, they keep Patrick Mahomes upright, and it's going to be tough with you know, you got Myles Garrett on the other side and a great pass rush. But man, 501 passing yards and 4 TDs, I think it's got to have Patrick Mahomes salivating on this one, and it's got me really thinking long and hard about spending up and, you know, spending what, like the 88,000 on him this weekend.
Well, since I've been sitting here, I've been drooling over this entire slate. And I don't think it's the tequila that's all over my shirt. but I will probably put 50% of my money on the Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey super double stack, or whatever you want to call it.
Triple stack.
He's got a little Q next to his name on Tyreek Hill, but I'm sure he's going to be fine. But you know, the Hill, the numbers. I mean, the one guy for sure that I'll probably try to play in every lineup regardless is going to be Kelsey. I think he's the one guy from this game you've got to play for sure. Mm-hmm. There's value at Bell as a running back because he's a pass catcher. Remember, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire probably not even playing, you know, Bell's a great value here, right? So, this game being really high scoring too. So again, back to the Baltimore Buffalo, this is the number one game that I'm targeting. And then my top lineup will be that stack right there. So anyway,
what about on the Cleveland side? It's to me, one guy I'm targeting on the Cleveland side is Chubb.
So okay. The lineup I built with the Mahomes, Kelsey and Hill is I have both Hunt and Chubb as running backs for Cleveland, catching balls. I think we're looking at a track meet here, right? I think it's the it's the 35, 34 game or whatever. I don't think Kansas City's going to stop Cleveland because they can hit you on the receivers, the tight ends. They're running out 3 or 4 tight ends for Cleveland now with Hooper and the Njoku or whatever, however you say his name. Oh, he hurt me this week too. But I think that there's just so much offense and athleticism on both sides of the ball that leads to this game being perfect for making some money. So,
oh yeah, this looks good. I mean, I like Hooper a lot. I know Mayfield's been targeting Hooper a lot these last few weeks. So I look at Hooper as a great value play. Where's he at? I'm looking Hooper. For. He's way down here, 3,800. Austin Hooper. I'd definitely throw him in my lineup for sure.
Yeah, he caught a lot of balls last week, and the Chiefs in their last 4 games before the Charger game were still 30th against the tight end. So they're giving up.
Totally. Hooper's going to have a good game.
Yeah, and the yep. Chiefs, and you know, you were talking, Greg, you were talking about Kelce. Yep. You know, even the Browns are 24th. No, this is there's some points going to be scored in this game. This is going to be a fun game to watch.
Can't wait. Woo!
Well, let's look at the closer. You know, everybody's baseball fans on this one. The closer being the Buccaneers at Saints, round
Ronald 3. Jones, put all your money on Ronald Jones.
Oh my God!
Woo-hoo!
Love the day. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, man. Now, you know, one of the interesting, you know, kind of like, you know, subplots of this game, Tom Brady has never lost three games in the same season to the same team.
He's also never been like 48 years old. So,
but he's looked great. You know, he's thrown over 300 yards, five of his last six games. Yeah. Nico's never done what?
No, I just remember it's some old games from my youth. So
the older I get, the better I was. I love that.
But I'm talking Al Bundy here now, or what?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, this one is just kind of an interesting, you know, is it going to be a defensive battle, or, you know, you're on the fast track in the dome at Superdome down in Nolens.
What's the over under? What do they post?
52.
I don't know. I to your point, I think Saints defense can be tough, and I think they may give Brady some fits there. But at the same time, his receiving core is just tops that we've seen in a long time. Mike Evans is healthy, right? He's not, you know, there's nothing wrong with him this week. Got him, Godwin. You got Gronk. You got Antonio Brown. Like, man, I mean, if at any given moment that offense can just blow up, so. It's going to be interesting. I like Saints defense, but at the same time, the Bucs offense can be explosive.
Well, let's look at the history this year. Did Brady do well in either of those games? Outside of week one, he got smoked in the second game, right?
It was one of his worst games of his career.
I mean, let me pull up. I think I can pull up his game log on game one. I mean, Brady is not going to do well against this defense. The Saints pass rush is ridiculous also.
Right.
And Brady, let's face it, unless you got perfect protection, I don't see it. I mean, I love Brady. My mom lives in Massachusetts. I've been to a game. She got me a jersey, so I have to like him. You know, he's from the Bay Area. But I got to tell you, I'm not – I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. I don't know.
They're tough. Saints defense is tough, man. They are tough. You're right.
Yeah. Let's see what did Brady do here.
So, Greg, if I get you a Dodgers jersey, then
yeah, can I get a bottle of baby oil with that too? That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, he went for 239 yards against in the opener.
Yeah.
So just not a very pedestrian game. Very pedestrian game.
And maybe cut him some slack because they was just getting used to figuring out the system, whatever. But I just don't I mean, the Saints defense, they're saying it's the best defense in football outside of maybe LA, right? So, I don't know, man. There's it might have better corners and deeper on that side. Evans wasn't moving that great out there in that game. The Godwin and Brown and there's situations, but I think they just shut Brady down. I really do. I'm afraid to go here. I won't touch. If I can get in. If I think the Saints jump ahead, then I jump on a game script and maybe I go down and get Antonio. There's another guy that screwed me last week. Maybe I go back to the well this week, you know, and get him on a cheap value at 5,400. But around that same price, Javon Landry could have a pretty big day in KC too, though. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
The one I'm looking on the other side of the ball where I'm looking at stacking Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. I think Drew Brees at 5,600 is a great value this weekend. And Michael Thomas, 67. I mean, I'm looking at Taylor Heinicke threw for 306 yards. Who knew about Taylor Heinicke by name 2 weeks ago? Come on. Nobody
and he put that on the Bucs defense, right?
Yep. He sure did.
So if this guy that played in the XFL can do that against the Buccaneers defense, what can Brees do on his home turf in the comfy, cozy confines of the Mercedes Superdome in New Orleans? I think I agree with you. I think Brees can just chomp all over that same defense that this no-name guy, Heinicke, I mean, he blew them up. So what's Brees going to do? And Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas seems to have found his step because he looked like
he looked great. He looked really good in that game.
Yeah, I like Thomas. I'm a hard fade on Brees because number seven comes in and it's taking too many plays at the goal line for my liking.
That is true.
That is true. Taysom Hill. I mean?
So if he's taking away a run from Kamara or a pass from Brees, and at Kamara's price this week, I mean, I have to rely on Kamara to be a pass catcher against Tampa Bay. So I'm fading Kamara and Brees this week. I love Thomas and Cook, maybe not together, but if I need to fit him in or something like that, I think Cook comes in and maybe gets a few points. But Thomas, I like to have in all my lineups this week for sure.
Can Taysom Hill be a flex play? I mean, flex is not just receiver, tight end, running back.
No,
right? Can Taysom Hill, can he be a flex?
You can't, no. Oh, no. But I heard if you had a Yahoo league that he was a tight end or something, or ESPN league or something.
ESPN league, he was tight end eligible.
Oh, God. That was a misstep, like H-back or something like that. Or
yeah, I mean, because that should be, you know, that's something that DraftKings should, you know, or whoever is, you know, the powers that be should look at. Taysom Hill, you know, he's known as the Swiss Army knife. He's not a QB. He's just, he's a utility player. Yeah. He's a utility player. That's what he is. He's not a QB. He's not a running back. He's not a receiver, but he does all those things pretty much equally. So it is kind of a disservice to put him down as a QB when he should totally be eligible as a flex play.
Well, let me circle back to Tom Minnesota and the Giants and the Dodgers here. So there was a discussion. So Farhan Zaidi, the GM for the Giants.
Yes.
So in the Giants Fantasy Football League, he had Taysom Hill, and he had him as his tight end. He went through the playoffs, like got him into the playoffs, but he was playing the Taysom Hill. Oh, you nice. Can't have two quarterbacks. He goes, man, that's just who I am, man. I know how to make things work. So anyways, it's sort of a story up here. Just to let you guys know about that.
He's a shark.
Yeah. He's smooth, dude. I got to tell you. So bring it back to baseball. I like the guy. I guess he was the A's too, but he's really smooth on the radio. So
no, he's very likable. He's very likable. I got one last thing on this game. I want to ask Primo Ricky. Yep. Alvin Kamara, 7,900. Are you spending up for him this weekend?
I don't want to, only because that's the only good part of Tampa Bay's defense. The Tampa Bay secondary's iffy, but Tampa Bay can stop the run. So I wouldn't want to pay that much, especially when you have a lot of other better options.
Yeah. And I'm on the other side, you know, with not knowing what's going on with Ronald Jones and his quad and, you know, the goose egg, the dona that he gives so many teams. I mean, Leonard Fournette, I just don't know if he's worth spending up on. It's scary a little bit.
Oh, the super value play is here at Deontay Harris for sure at 3,500.
Yes.
This is the guy that you're probably going to at flex. If you're like,
yes,
the one guy that you want to get in your lineup. So it'll be pretty chalky, I think, but it's okay. If it helps you get in any of those other big guys, the Kelce's, then you put Deontay in a receiver and maybe you flex Kelce and then you can get your Hooper in there because I like him, or Cook or Andrews. I think the tight ends go pretty deep this week just because you know you're going to get, but Kelce's going to be worth the value, I think, at 7,800. So.
Yeah,
he is. I mean, he had a big game, right, Harris? He had a pretty –
83 yards. 83 yards on seven receptions. So caught all seven receptions. Yeah,
it's a good solid amount for his price.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'd take that. That'd be well worth it, especially if he finds a touchdown here and there. And with the fact that the Bucs have been giving up some yardage on, you know, in the past game. So second week that they have to jump on a plane. Oh, vamos a ver.
I think I'm fading Kamara. Kamara is 7,900, and I'm looking over here at the Cleveland game. You know, we got Chubb over here at 66 and Kareem Hunt at, where is he at?
Who's jumping on a plane again,
4,800. So yeah,
the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers. They had to go up to Washington, and now they got to go to New Orleans.
They're barely any distance. They're just ride a bus there. So you know, Tom Brady ain't riding on the same plane as they are.
So I've got a lineup where I got Akers in, and I got Hunt, and I've got no Chubb. And that sounds really weird.
It's weird, Greg. I do the same thing, though. I do.
Is that the name of your fantasy team next year?
Yeah. I got no Chubb.
I'm aching with the Hunt, but no Chubb. Yeah. Okay.
I did that last week. Yeah.
So think about the Cleveland KC game. If KC goes out big, then Chubb and Hunt are going to be rotated in and out as pass catching backs. They'll abandon the run. And they're both incredible out the backfield, right? But in order, they'll go with the tempo. I think you can get Hunt in there. And don't be afraid to play him without Chubb in there. So I think that could be a little differentiator there too. But
yeah. I like Hooper a lot too. It's like you said, especially if they do get behind Hooper, is a nice little safety valve too, going across the middle. So I think he gets a lot of action. I think he gets a good game either way. So that's just my call.
Again, along the lines of that, so you got to think of the game. If KC goes up and they score like what, 2 touchdowns, it's like 17-3 going to the second. Baker's going to have to pass. He's going to have Landry. He's going to throw to. Maybe you throw him in there. So maybe you create a lineup in a $1 tournament or a $4 tournament where it doesn't cost you much, but you have like that Roethlisberger Claypool comeback scenario set up, right? So you don't have to spend 20 in the millionaire. Go play in the smaller tournaments. You'd be really surprised that there's some of the big dogs, these big names you see on DraftKings, they won't go in and play those smaller tournaments because they get called out for it, right? So go down. Don't play. Don't feel like you have to do all those millionaires. Maybe play a couple there because you don't want to miss out winning a million. But play the dollar tourney, the $2 tourney, and play like 5 or 6 lineups. That way you get a little Mayfield, you get a little Mahomes, you get a little – maybe you want Kamara just to have – one lineup at $2, you know, it's worth it. So
yeah, make a little money. You don't, you know, it's singles and doubles instead of, you know, going for triples and homers. So,
but you can still win $2,000 in a tourney, right? It's not a million, but it's a little easier to win. So all these guys that go in the Millie Makers, right? They play 150 lineups at $20 a head, right? Do the math. Like, we don't do that. But those are analytics guys. Those are our baseball guys, and everything is run by stats now. So if you can do that and play 20 lineups at $1 each, and then you sort of play like them at their level, they won't come down to that level because everybody knows if the sharps come in, they'll clean that up. But that's a great place to go. Just throw 20 lineups out there, you know, and see how it works. And that sort of gets you used to go up and play 20 lineups at $15 a head, you know, which is just, this is something I won't do. I just always play the millionaire lineup because I don't want to miss out on $1 million, right?
Yeah.
You're right. That's what we all think. It's the Howard Stern scenario. Don't want to miss the next thing, you know?
Oh man. Well, that's cool. That's cool. Hey everybody. I think that's all we got for this week. Eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out into the Familia community to you guys. Please make sure to subscribe, leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Again, find our original content at familiaffb.com. I'm going to be doing a tribute to Tommy Lasorda in there and one of our blog postings. So look for it on our Twitter and our Instagram, and where you can follow us at familiaffb. You can find me at Jorge Martin 17 Hector.
What the heck? 2 T's.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget our Familia FFB Facebook page, everybody. Well, gracias otra vez. Happy divisional round. One of the best weekends of football of the year. This is the best playoffs. And remember, everybody, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.
Ay, 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 ay.
Oh, yeah, baby. Canta y no llores. Everybody, adios.
Adios.